Well, this morning we're going to go back. We had a sort of break last week in the series that I was teaching on, and we're going to go back to Bible principles for prosperity. It is amazing. I mean, if you go and see through the scriptures and follow through the scriptures from the old covenant to the new covenant, all the different things that the Bible talks about God's people prospering in their lives and that stuff. And there's so much said about it. I mean, there's regularly hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures on the subject. And when, you know, it was one thing we need to understand is about, most people think when they get in their mind about Old Covenant, they think of the law. But when we look under what the Bible calls the Old Covenant, we need to understand that it wasn't till the book of Exodus when the things of the law started. Before that time, we go through the generations of Abraham and things, and that wasn't under the law. And God's dealing with people in prosperity. And see, people come along and say, well, that's God, you know, over there, and He's dealing with that was for the Jew. Prosperity was for the Jew. You know, the one thing is God dealt with me. I've been studying and looking in this subject and teaching, and one of the things that God said that the Jewish people have been done so well at prospering is because they have the whole world confessing that they do. He said the whole world is mad at them because they prosper, and they keep saying, wow, those people, they're just their money, they grump and groan at them. And one of the reasons the church has had so much problems and so many Christians is because they do nothing but confess poverty. That's all they confess, you know. I was born and raised, and the idea that, you know, God wanted you to be poor, they wanted the preachers to be poor. Don't matter what the Bible said about it. The Bible says the guy that teaches the word who does that ought to get a double portion. That ain't what the church I came out of was. They made sure that the preacher got less than everybody else. Because if a preacher got more, well, my God, he'll end up in sin. Well, I'm going to tell you what, and they didn't realize they were in sin walking against the Word of God. If you disobey the Word of God, you're in sin. And their whole idea was, you know, they were going to keep the minister humble. If you keep them poor, that they're humble. Well, we know that ain't true. We live in a society of, look, all kinds of people don't work and have nothing. And I'll tell you, they ain't very humble either. I mean, they'll go out and stone you and kill you for something. They ain't humble at all, you know. They don't get their government check, I'll tell you what, there's going to be hell to pay. Ain't nothing humble about it. The God has a plan for people to prosper, but you're going to have to fall in line with God's principles. We started off dealing with the first principle we had dealt with was the areas of faithfulness. Because look, you can prosper in this world and do things and make money. But you need to understand prosperity with God ain't just about money. You can make money and just be sick all your life and, you know, do it. I know people who are like that. I mean, they got money, but they're sick all the time. Is you need to understand that when God deals with the area of prosperity, He's dealing with the whole man. And if you don't deal right in areas of your life and things like that, it's going to affect your health. It's going to affect, I don't care if you're born again Christian. We got to walk right. As we found out in the areas of faithfulness, we also looked at the principle that's in the Bible is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Throughout the Scripture, we can even find in the Old Testament the layout because we see the types and shadows of it in the Old Testament. We see through it, and so to walking in the light of these things, because prosperity is more than putting money in an offering plate. It's more than asking God for money. You know, it's like anything. I mean, somebody, we found out with faithfulness, if somebody wasn't faithful with a little bit, they weren't going to be faithful over much. You never give somebody more when they haven't been faithful with a little bit. You know, we need to learn to practice that in life. You know, we keep trying to give people more in this nation who aren't faithful with a little bit. We keep trying to even hand them more. And we wonder why everything's all messed up. Because we just go against all the spiritual principles and we think somehow we're going to make it work just because, you know, we do it. America's had the war on poverty and we've spent so much money in poverty that every poor person should be a millionaire. For the amount of money that we spend? Well, where is it? Where is that money? I mean, we pay our taxes and only a very small portion. I mean, back in the 1980s, the U.S. was spending $32,000 to pay out $8,000 worth of welfare. For every $8,000 went out, $32,000 was eaten up by the bureaucracy. You know, big government isn't about helping people. Big government's about taking care of government. and government employees and all that. It's just, you know, we need a government, we need things. But the whole idea and concept is so messed up where it isn't a thing. You know, you got to pay people, but you're sitting there and you're just shoving things out there to people and throwing stuff out there. Jack Kemp, who was Ronald Reagan's Secretary of Housing and Labor and stuff, he went and did a study. And in that study, he said, at his time in office, he said, if we set up a computer, and all that computer did was pump out a checks to everybody who applied for welfare, not everybody who got it, everybody who applied for it. He said, and we eliminated the bureaucracy and just had that computer would pump checks out to whoever asked. He said, in 1 year, we found this out, that if everybody who applied for welfare, we would have just gave them the money. He said we would have saved hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Just give them the check. Then having all those people doing all that stuff. And we live in this system. But we need to understand this. It's not only our government. The church does the same thing. The church world is part of it too. The church world has been no better at really and many times helping people. I know in our community here, I've talked to people about stuff. You go out and you find them. You go out there and that stuff. The people who they've learned to live off of all the systems from the government to the churches, and they've learned how to live off these systems, and they like it, and they ain't going to change it. I mean, I get calls on the phone. They expect you, well, your church, you have to give me money if I want it. You've got to help people, you know. And I mean, they're just arrogant people. You know, I've asked people, say, go help them get a job. I don't want a job. You're supposed to give me money. When I need something, you're just supposed to do it. Because they're used to that with the government. The government's trained them to be that way. I don't get what I want. I'm going to vote a guy in office that's going to do it. And I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. They'll do it. Both parties do it. So if you don't fall into God's principles and God's way of thinking, if you don't fall into it, you're never going to help people. You don't help people at all. You know, you just can't hand people everything that they want. And especially we as the church, one of the things is we have to develop, and understand this, prosperity for a Christian is a way to develop and come into. It's not something you're going to arrive to overnight. Anything that has to do with quick money is the devil. I'm just telling you, God don't have a system where all of a sudden overnight you're going to be a pauper and overnight you're going to be a millionaire. Even the government, you know, myths, they turn around the lottery things. You know, the people that turn around and don't have much of anything and all of a sudden they're millionaires. Well, in an old short period of time, they don't have nothing and loads of them and then owe all kind of money and stuff and they blow everything. Why? It doesn't do it. You have to develop. See, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's one of the reasons there's so much evil in America. And even churches, it comes with a love of money. The money to operate, the money becomes the focus of things. You can't operate in that place. A Christian doesn't want to go to that place where money starts to take a forefront, or even possessions start to take a forefront of anything. There's not wrong to have them. God said He wanted to give them to us. He said He wanted to bless us. But we can't make it a forefront, because if you do, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to end up just like the world. And you're going to live just like the world. And we don't want to go there. We're talking about reaching a world. We need stuff to reach a world, to go preach the gospel, to do things. We need, you know, finances. We need things to do that. It isn't just a matter of just throwing money out there and say, well, we're just going to go do it. If you think about it, I mean, ministries and that have done things. I mean, my words. I mean, like in Haiti, around the end of the 90s when they found out that these ministries were going down to Haiti. They were raising money. I mean, big ministries in the United States here. Big ministries raising money. Going down to Haiti. Say they have orphanages down there. Here they had this guy down there had an orphanage. And all these ministries would come down there and pay this guy to put a sign up on his place saying that their ministry, this was their ministry's orphanage. I can sit here and tell you preachers, and they're on TV and everything else, that did this thing. And they put it up there. And they raised millions and millions of dollars for orphanage. And they paid this guy like $50,000 to put this sign up and take the pictures. And another ministry would come along and pay this guy. This is how this guy was running his orphanage. He was actually helping the kids. Selling this stuff to these ministries. And they're out raising millions of dollars. And it wasn't going for orphans. See, people don't ever check anything. I don't care what somebody tells me or some ministry says they're doing. I want to know if you're doing it. I don't care what you say you're doing, you're helping people. I don't, you know, people call me and say, we're doing this or that. And I just, you talk to a person and they're like, they get upset if you start to question them about who they are, what they're doing. They'll say, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? And I just tell them, no, I don't even know you. Why would I trust you? I'd be an idiot. If I don't know you, I couldn't trust you. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. I got enough sense when a person calls themselves a Christian to have a question in the back of my mind. I mean, it's be an idiot not to. We don't know somebody. You just because they say they're doing good. Look how much people get ripped off every year. The hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Actually, in America, it's up into good close to about $1 billion a year. Americans get ripped off every year into false charities. Everybody jumps on board. Oh man, we got a concert to raise money out here. It's going to go out through the, it's going to go to help the people down here. Nobody checks. Nobody, you think I'm going to hand some entertainers my money? You read how these people and their lives and stuff? Give me a break. Hand them my money? Come on. Dear God. Absolute insanity. But we have this kind of stuff going on. There's all kinds of things. There's one that was a big name minister for a while. You don't hear much about him anymore, because he's turned around. Big name, boy, people chased after him and chased after him. And he was turning around and said he was over in somewhere in Hungary or someplace, and they were building a church over there in this place, and he talked about this big ministry, and he said he joined together with them that they were going to build this church and this ministry thing over there, and he raised millions of dollars. Well, it's interesting because it turned around that some guy went over there was in that area and went there to that church to go to talk to him. They didn't even know who he was, and then they found out that they didn't know him by name, but his ministry had sent them a check for $25,000. But that's all they got out of it, and he raised millions and millions for that project, and it didn't go there. Now, I want to just say these things because God can't prosper Christians giving money away like that. God can't prosper us being gullible. I had a missionary. A missionary we supported and stuff and helped. He came to me one time and he said this to me. Because, I always talk with them and question about things and check things out with them about doing stuff. And he said this to me, now our little church, he said, now he had big churches helping him and doing stuff, but he said, I want to say that, he said, you're the only church that really got a missions program, he said, that I know of, that actually check out to see if missionaries do what they do or whatever else. He said, most of them, all they do is just throw money out there. I know it. I could name a big church that everybody even knows here. Everybody know who it is. Huge church. They dumped so much money in. They all these stories brag about all the great millions of dollars. The huge church, millions of dollars into missions. You wouldn't believe how many missionary frauds they were supporting. The first missionary that I ever met from their group come up and introduced himself to me. I was a young Christian at the time and young in ministry, and I just started out, and the Lord said to me, "You stay away from that man." Spoke to me when I met the guy. Here we did find out later, he's out cheating on his wife, doing all kind of stuff, had been lying about his ministry. They're shoving him money. After they found out he's doing that, they kept giving him money. He wasn't the only one. There's other guys. The Lord had me stay away from around that ministry. Told me stay away from the people. But you need to understand, you're not going to prosper. It's going to affect your health doing that kind of stuff. See, we're as Christians, we're supposed to be seeking God. See, we talk about prosperity, but there's, really things of prosperity are not spoken about in the church world. The church world, it's about writing checks out and stuff and things. It's a lot more than that. You can't be just throwing your money out here to things. God isn't going to have you go throw your money away. I mean, you throw it away, it's just like an investment. You make a dumb investment in the natural. You don't ever check it out or find out. And you get some guy calls you and says, hey, boy, they're making money at this and that and the other thing. And boy, you need to jump in today. If you have $10,000, throw it in here today. And you can't do it tomorrow. You got to do it right now. And you're dumb enough to jump in that and lose the $10,000. I mean, my word, you're an idiot. But church Christians will do that. Christians, and they learn how to play us. You guys heard me talk about this before. When I was in Bible school out at Rhema, they had a company in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this company, all it did was it did strategies and mailings and stuff for ministries. Ministries would come and hire that company to set up for them a program to how to do mailings and stuff to get people to give them money. And I had a guy who worked in the company, who was pretty high up in the company, said this. I heard it with my own ears. He said, ministries, if you're going to reach out to people, you always have to have an emergency going on. Do you know most of the time that ministry sends you things, and lots of times it comes from these places? Those ministries, you know, you get the ones, they have oil packets in them, they get all this stuff and they'll do this and this special thing and that. Those ministries never even handle that stuff for everything. They have private companies handle that stuff for them. We prayed over all this stuff. They've never even touched it or ever had it. They might have done a prayer from 1,000 miles away, but they never, you know, prayed over that oil or anything. That oil was packaged in China in that little package and sent in. And I'm serious. It's exactly what happens. And we got this stuff. And see, all these gimmicks go on. And what they do is they have gimmicks. Loads of times, these ministries aren't under an emergency, but that's how they get people to keep giving. Because why? Most Christians wouldn't know God if He showed up with a neon sign on his head that said God. They wouldn't know who God was, and they're moved by emotion. They'll show you a picture on TV. They'll show you things that go, oh, you know. That fine, there's where people have help, but I want to make sure that that person gets that help. I don't want to give you money showing me pictures and you're not helping them. That's why I've always used the sense with the church's money. We take money, I'm going to tell you, somebody ain't getting our money easily. Because when we give it to the Lord. I believe God, you know, if Jesus Christ, He lived in the flesh as a Jew, I think He had some good sense about some money. So, folks, this is all about prosperity. This is why a lot of Christians don't prosper. They think they're making investments into the kingdom that they ain't ever getting anything back on. They lost on it because they didn't follow God. They were moved by their flesh and are given. Instead of checking things out. That's why I was giving. I look for somebody who's out there working in that area who you get direct. You aren't handing it to this guy and he's handing it to that guy. When it gets down through the end, you give $1,000 and $10 gets handed out down there on the end of the thing. I remember years ago we were in a church and they were doing, because Africa at that time was back in the 80s, and Africa was having a whole lot of troubles and that stuff over there with famine and all kind of stuff. Things were really bad. And here in America, and all the churches and stuff were raising money for food and all this stuff. And we found this out. All this food that was being raised was being shipped to these countries, but it was sitting on their docks and that stuff, and there's no transportation to get the stuff out. Most of what everybody sent rotted, didn't go nowhere and do nothing. And the government took it and used it, sold it off and stuff, and pocketed it and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because people, we just gotta go help. The famine didn't happen in 2 seconds, and getting the stuff to them, if you're going to do it right, it ain't going to do it to just throw everything out there and do that is foolishness. Got to use wisdom. You know, God gave us money. We want God to be able to give us. Bible says, you know, God, you know, Paul talked about the grace of God, that you could have the grace of God on you so great that you would be able to give to every good work. It says good work. It didn't say to every work. And the measurement of good work in the Bible is God's good work, not to the good work measurement of men. Most ministries and even most, aid places and stuff like that are the good of men. It's the goodness of men. It's not the goodness of God. When we invest in the kingdom, I want to know an investment-wise if I'm investing in the kingdom. I definitely want to have God's opinion on something. I like to know what He thinks about it. Also, God will have you use your good sense. Don't just sit down and ask God to tell you because you don't want to take the time to find out if it's a good investment or not. You know, you realize how many charities out here asking for money. Yet, charities and that stuff, the government, you know, has things, places you can call and find out about charities. Yet people don't do it. They go hand the money to somebody. Too lazy to make a phone call. Folks, we got to wake up. We got to wake up just because somebody comes and a handout. It was very interesting. I mean, I was down in Philadelphia some years ago. And in Philly, I was at, it was actually, it was toward the end of the day, you know, the businesses and stuff were letting out, you know, with government offices and all kind of other things around 5 o'clock. And you go down there and they have these people standing. These people are out there standing with flowers, selling them at red lights. These people come out, they dress, you know, all beat up. Oh, you're helping a poor person. There ain't one poor person in the bunch. I found out the company that does, there's a company that does that. And those people down there, around the corner, they had a truck sitting filled with flowers. And these people out there, I watched a thing on TV in Philadelphia. This one guy's making about $150,000 a year, out there dressed in bad clothing and stuff, handing flowers through the window, and no moron bothers checking. He ought to have all those idiots' money. He ought to even get more of it. They're that stupid. Nobody checks. Nobody checks. Nobody cares. I was watching a thing. I watched a program on TV about all these hustle stuff that these people make. And this one guy and that stuff lives. He lives around on the street most of the time. He's rich. This guy is really. He's become a professional panhandler and makes loads of money at it. And they talked to him about it. They talked to him about it. He's making loads of. He's making more money than most of the people that give to him. Why would you do that? Why go to work? I can make a great living. See, when a guy lost his job, learned how to panhandle, he said, man, I ain't going back to a regular job no more. I can make a fortune at this. Lebanon County is a mark for people who travel around the United States that don't work. I've been told by people who do the traveling, who told us. They know that they can come here and churches will give you cash. They'll do all kinds of things. They'll give it to you. We never give cash to anybody. We don't ever give them cash. They don't want the thing. They say, I'm hungry. Okay, we're going to go eat. Then you wouldn't believe how many times I get turned down on that deal. No, you wouldn't believe how many. But I've watched it. I've had people tell us it's one of the places. This is sort of like the spring and summer area that they move through here, and then the winter time they hit the southern states and they travel around. I had a ministry tell them to some people that I found that were doing this, and this ministry here in Lebanon. Now, you know, they talk about blessing and helping people, and they ain't a blessing at all. And I said to him, because they were telling housing these people, giving them money while they're here doing, I said, do you realize that these people are professional hustlers? And I started telling them, because I checked them out, found out where they were operating from and different things. And this ministry, here, a ministry here in Lebanon said, oh, we know that they're, yeah, we know this stuff, but you got to help people. And I told him, I said, you will never get a nickel out of our church. Never. I'll never give you a nickel. They don't have a ministry. God ain't in that stuff. They're robbers and cheats. They're as bad as that person. Because they're stealing from good people, lying and telling them they're helping the poor when they're not. And if I named them, you'd be shocked. But nobody checks it out. Nobody checks nothing out. Nobody cares. I'm doing my good deed. But we want God's prosperity. You know, we want God to prosper. And understand this. David said he never saw the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. The church world has a lot of beggars in the church. So this means one thing. People are not walking nor living righteously. The righteous, you know what a righteous person is? It's the person that does what's right. Very simple, not hard to figure out. The person that does what's right. The person that walks in righteousness is always going to be blessed. God has a guarantee of it. That's why we want to walk in righteousness. That's why if a person is poor and don't want to understand, we might have to help them and give them things to get. But if we're not going to take the time and they don't want to be trained or taught how to prosper, I am not going to run a welfare program for them. I'm not going to do that. If they don't want to learn the principles and they want to be beggars, then they can stay beggars. But I'm not going to help them in it. We want to help people overcome. If a person doesn't want to overcome, what's the point? You're wasting your time. We want to help them. That's one of the things I like the rescue mission. They help people. It's to take a person and get that individual. You want them to have a changed life. You don't want them to have to be a beggar. God said, we work, labor with your hands, so you have to give. So in other words, God, if a Christian is unable to give, then there's something wrong. So they got to find the right principles and begin to live them, because God's order was, you and I could work so we could have to give. So we're supposed to have enough to take care of ourselves and enough left over to give. That's the plan of God. But people say, well, Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. He didn't say it was right. He said, Jesus could have said this, you're always going to have the lazy with you. Now, not everybody is poor as lazy. Some people just, they don't know how to prosper. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what to do. They have lived in homes and lived in families, have come out. They don't know how to do it. And they need to be trained and taught. But there are the people that are the lazy. There are those, and we have many. And I'm going to tell you what, the monetary area has nothing to do with laziness because they're on all levels. They're in all levels. Hallelujah. Had no notes in none of that, but it worked. Hallelujah. But no, we need to talk about these things because they're not talked about with prosperity. We have all this teaching, you know, hey, you go to a meeting, oh my, God wants you to prosper, put money in the plate. That isn't the way. That's part. Giving's part of what we do. The Bible, given it shall be given unto you. I'm a big believer in that. But I believe right conduct of life, walking right, being morally right, doing what's right. You know, that's prosperity. I'm going to tell you what, one of the greatest things Jesus Christ changed my life, to prosper my life, was in learning to do what was right. Just walking and living right was a huge prosperity to my life. That was enormous prosperity to me. It's a changed life. And so we want to have that. We want to have that last change. Now we had used, one of the scriptures that we had used in our teaching was from 3 John. And was 3 John, the second verse, which says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And we taught on that some about their soul prospers. In other words, the way you think. In other words, we got to renew our minds with the Word of God. We got to get ourselves thinking right. Why? So we can prosper and be in health. In other words, God wants us to prosper in the whole thing. Health-wise, God, prosperity. Health prosperity is God's plan. That's part of your prosperity. See, being in health, that was one thing that God, that was really the first thing that God taught me, was about the prosperity in the area of health. And the Lord said this to me when I was just a young Christian praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me and told me concerning His people. And He talked about He wanted His people His desire for people was that they'd be saved, be full of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing that He said He wanted, number one, the next thing that He wanted on top for all Christians is to be well. That's what He said. And He told me this. He spoke to me and told me this. He said, my people, because of sickness and disease, they can't do my will, what I've called them to do. They can't go because their health's bad, or all their money is being stolen. See, we have a nation. Look how much money is stolen out of our nation over the health. It's being robbed. The devil dominates and rules over the money of America because of the areas of health. The devil keeps them sick and the church saying it's the will of God. Well, I'm sorry, it ain't the will of God. If it's not the will of God, why would we ever read and believe anything John said? Because John's an idiot. He said, we're supposed to prosper in the health area. Well, we ain't prospered in the health area, that's for sure. We've run a nation into bankruptcy. Dear God. We haven't prospered in that area. Well, see, I found out with my life, when I started learning and prospering, I didn't miss work. You get promotions because you show up. Today, my God, there's businesses out here that they don't much care if you know anything or not. It's a matter of just getting an employee to show up to work. It's a huge thing. People to come to work all the time. That's a hard thing to do. Prosper. Well, God taught me about prosperity, you know, and the whole thing was, He taught me from 1980. I got born again in 1980, in January 1980, and never missed a day of work sick since 1980. Found out about this health thing and thought it's in God's plan. And I started walking in it. I started walking in that plan. And God told me, I said, Lord, I want to learn your plan. I want to learn about health. I want to learn about divine health. I want to learn about walking. And it isn't in eating health food. If you're looking to find divine health and eating health food, hey, there's a, you eat good, that's fine. You go ahead. But you're never going to have divine health doing that. You can't put your faith over in the food area. It's just like I was looking in health foods. I started reading up on health food and what the government allows in what we call health food. Oh my God, when I started looking, there's some worse stuff in health food than there is if you buy the chemical stuff. But, see, people get over in the natural, trying to do everything over in the natural side of things, you know. It's like anything. If you ain't smart enough to check it out, if you believe it just because they advertised it, you know, and put it out there, you know, it's just like it cracked me up. I sat down and watched a video about cereals and stuff with fruit and things in them. You know that there's no, none of the regular cereals, there is no fruit in any of them. They're made of sugar and oil, and they make them look like berries, and they put it in your fruit, and they put on the box about these fruit, but up there it says on the box, flavor, there is not, they said there's no cereal out here that has had the fruit in it. Not what they went on all these major cereals, and all of them have their stuff, there's not one of them that has fruit in it. They make these little flavored things, and they make them look like berries, and they make them look like stuff, and they're not. They got those ones that look like dried cranberries. They're not dried cranberries. They are sugar and oil with flavoring. And the government allows them to do it. You know, now they got the free range chicken. Yeah, they made the cage a foot bigger. You know, now, oh yeah, I'll pay the extra dollar a pound, you idiot. Oh, my words. See, you know, people have stuff out here. I can understand why the world gets, you know, there's some of these people in the world get so rich, because there's so many gullible people, and especially among the Christians. Christians are filled with gullible people. The Christians are the easiest to con. Now, some of us, the fact is, you know what? We don't want to think the worst of everybody, but we don't use good common sense then in it. You check people out. You check things out. I was watching that thing on video. This guy's for there checking all this. They're talking to people from the companies and stuff. And they say, we're not lying to anybody. On the box it says, you know, fruit flavor. And all of them, there wasn't one of all the guys that wasn't fruit in it. It was hilarious. It was really funny. So I thought, oh my God, we pay extra for sugar and oil. Ah, my. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. Make sure it says real fruit. Oh. But you understand, I mean, you think about that. How can people prosper? People can't prosper walking along, not checking anything, not looking at anything. See, a lot of even the church world has got the world system in it. We are expecting the world system. We're expecting Congress to make laws to take care of me. I'm sorry, most of the people in office are unsaved. They're going to do what they do to take care of themselves. You might as well figure that out right now. I don't care which party you're in. They make laws to take care of themselves. And if you don't have enough sense to take care of yourself, quit griping at them and yelling at them. This hasn't just started in our time. This has been around, folks. You have to learn to take care of yourself. In the church world, this is what most people want a church that's going to take care of you. That's what most people want. Most want a church that's going to look after you. A church is sort of like of an insurance policy. I'm giving my money here because anything happens, they'll take care of me. That isn't what you're in the church world for. I'm in the church for this purpose, to be a blessing. That's what I'm in the church for. I don't look at other people as a dollar sign, as something I can get something out of them. You see, all these things have to do with prosperity. All these things have to do with prosperity. See, this is why you want to have the right attitude. One of the things I want to look at today is I said all those things. I didn't plan on actually going there and that stuff. We also, one of the scriptures that we did use too, I just quickly, is Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God. What is this? Remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He might may establish His covenant, which He swore to His fathers, as it is to this day. So God provides wealth. That's why, so we can establish God's covenant. We're expanding the kingdom, and that's what its purpose is. We have to use wisdom, because we live in a world that is deceptive. And we're in a very deceptive world. A very, very deceptive world. I want want you to look at a scripture, a very familiar scripture, because it has to do with prosperity, is Hebrews the 11th chapter. And Hebrews the 11th chapter, there's a scripture there that would be good for us to look at. In verse 6 says, without faith, now listen to this, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that what he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. You can't please God without faith. In other words, faith in God. Now, we need to understand this. A person, you know, generally I find this is people will come along and have troubles in the area of their life, and you start talking to them about faith. And most people go right over the things, because if you deal with them in an area that they're not having success in, they're not prospering in, now that doesn't mean just money, it can be other areas of their life, they're not prospering. In other words, maybe their family life or whatever, and you'll say to them, well, you really don't have faith in this area. Most people get upset with you. Right away they talk, well, I got faith. You may have had faith to get saved, but you may not have no faith in the area of God to help you and your family. You may not trust Him at all in that area. Just because you came to Christ by faith doesn't mean you have faith to trust God with your money. You might have faith, but you have to develop faith. We develop faith in every area. Some people are very successful in one area of faith and not successful in many other areas of faith. There's one area they can trust God into and they can really go after, and there's other areas they can't go. They have a terrible time believing. They've never developed themselves. And so we have to develop ourselves, just like with health. God had me start in the areas of health. I really got good at it. I tell you what, I understand God's health system. I understand how it works. I understand how this thing goes. I know how it works. The Lord said to me, if people will listen to you and do what you tell them, He said they'll get healed every time. The big problem that I found is I can't get people to listen to me. Well, I'm saying, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying people won't listen because they have their ideas about things and they have listened to all kind of other teaching on the areas of health. There's one thing I want to know. If I'm going to go out, I found this out. Years ago, I wanted to learn to take pictures, photography, you know, and ended up buying camera equipment, ended up taking pictures, even selling pictures, you know, that we were learning. But I wanted to learn to take pictures. But I figured this out. If you're going to learn to take pictures, you didn't go to the guy who didn't know how to take pictures to find out how to take pictures. I'm not going to the guy who can't get well to teach health to me. You know how many preachers stand and preach healing and they can't get it at all in their life? It's like preaching prosperity and don't know how to get it. Don't know how to get it right. Are you going to listen to the guy that didn't make it work? That's what the church does. The church always seems to look for the failure, and that's the guy we're going to follow. Why? Because the failure talks to you in your language. That's right, your failure language. You like that. The person, oh, you know, they're on my level. That means they're as sick as you are. There was this real weird guy, his name was Jesus, talked about, you know, you can't, one guy in a ditch can't get the other guy out of the ditch if they're both in the ditch. Oh, the world has more sense than that. You know, if the world, you know, if I wanted to learn about money, well, you want to go to maybe Harvard Business School, or you wanted to go to this one or that one, you want to go to these, they don't go out here and say, let's go out here to this one school. They've never put anybody on business worth anything. Let's go there. I'm going to spend my money and go there to college. So what I did, I wanted to take pictures, and I started buying books of people that were really good at taking pictures. I started reading their books, finding out what these people knew about photography. The first thing that I learned about photography, good photography, has nothing to do, most of all, with the camera that you got. See, say by today, they're running around trying to buy a camera that they want to get pictures like Ansel Adams. And you can buy the best camera in the world and you ain't going to get a picture like Ansel Adams unless you know what he knew. Because it isn't done with the camera. It was done because this man, you have to have an eye for a picture. You got to develop an eye for a picture. You got to learn how light works. You don't know how light works? You ain't going to buy an automatic camera that's going to take pictures like Ansel Adams did. If you don't know who Ansel Adams is, go look it up and go look at his stuff. He did black and white pictures that are more beautiful than most color stuff was ever put out. And he did it with an old big format camera with a huge plate this big and took pictures that most people in their Nikons that cost $2,000 will never see in their life. And I found out. I would sit down and look. What I did is start examining their pictures. And when you started learning about light, you could start to look at a man's picture and start to tell him what he did when he took the picture. Things that this man, you could start to understand. I went down, these little Browning, I don't know if you remember them years ago, back in the 50s, the Browning camera. Remember those? This one guy, professional photographer, he went out and got one of those. You should have seen the awesome pictures he took with that thing. I was totally shocked. And this was out in the days when people started, the camera businesses really started getting big and everybody's going to, and he's trying to show the fact, you have to have an eye. You got to know how light works and things. He had awesome pictures. And see, things you had to learn. So it's what you had to learn to do things. Now, I never got as good as those guys. I never did. But I did learn a lot of things about how to do stuff and how to take pictures. And what I could tell you what was going to happen to my picture before it was ever showed up in the camera and the film was developed. I could tell you how it was going to turn out. Most people, they don't know they turn out till they see it. They don't even know they're automatic cameras. They don't know till they see it whether it was good or not. People don't know. Now today, if you buy and learn to use the really good software, you don't even have to take good pictures. You can turn them into anything you want. But you're going to have to learn to know what the good software is. You have to be smart about it. And you can turn lousy pictures into good stuff. I learned to do that. It's like one of the things is, so just like the software, Ward and his brother, they were twins. They had a picture when they were kids that got water messed it up and that stuff somehow. But anyhow, like Ward and the picture and stuff's ear was gone and things like that. I redid that picture with software that I had and put an ear back on him and everything and the whole thing. Made that picture look like it did when it was taken. But the whole thing, you got to learn something. See, everybody wants everything automatic today. The kingdom of God does not work that way. You've got to turn the American culture off if you want to develop spiritually. Too much of the American culture is in the church, and we think along those lines. But here we found out in Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. So in other words, we're dealing in the areas of faith. But he says this, the person that comes to God... must what? Believe. So in other words, what are you coming to God for? You have to have a belief or a basis of faith of what you're coming. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have to have a basis of faith. So he's telling you to come to God. So we want to prosper. We come to God, but we have to have a basis to believe that what we're asking God to prosper in whatever area of our life or whatever it is that we want to prosper or become more proficient to walk in our Christian development and life, we have to have a basis to believe God for it. Has God said it in His Word? The person, it didn't say it'd be nice if they believe something. It says he who comes to God must believe. He must believe that He is, and he must believe this. He has to have this belief, that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now understand, that God will reward them. The person must believe when they come to God that God is going to reward them. That word reward there really, in its idea and its usage is this, is dealing with God as in the areas of pay. It's one who pays wages. In other words, that rewarder means, in other words, I'm coming to God believing I'm going to get whatever it is, wages of whatever it is that I'm believing for, I want to develop in or walk in, that God's going to help me and reward me or pay me in that area. Now, we're not necessarily paying Him money, whatever it might be that I want to develop in or I want to walk in with God. If you want to learn spiritual development, you've got to be able to walk. Many people would like to grow spiritually, but they never walk in faith about it. They never go over and find what the Scriptures say and stand with God. Now, we find this out. It doesn't come just because you ask. He said the person who gets the reward is the one who diligently seeks Him, not the one who just asks. desert. This is why many people don't succeed, is because they do not seek God. They are seeking things. They're seeking stuff. They want things fixed, but they are not diligently seeking God. Our success is in our relationship with God. God's prosperity works through a relationship with God, not through asking, just asking for something. You'll go so far. You know, I realized when I started off as a Christian, that was the way I operated. You know, it's the way babies do. Is that the way babies are? Babies just, you know, mom, I'm hungry. Mom, yeah, this, that, good, this, good. Many Christians, that's the way they spend their whole life. That's what God is, you know. I need this, I need that. God, give me this, God, give me that. It isn't through relationship. It comes to the standpoint. There, I found out when I started developing spiritually, there's things that God used to do for me. He did no more. He had taught me how to do them. I need to start doing that, you know. It's like a child. You learn how to tie their shoes. I mean, if they're 15 and you're still tying their shoes, there's something wrong with your mind. And I'm serious, there is something wrong. I said, I watch people that do things for their kid. They walk around, kids are older and that stuff. They walk around picking up after them all the time and all that stuff. I think, my God, these poor parents are so dumb and stupid. They ain't got a clue in their mind. Chasing them. Their kids are out married, living out from themselves, and they're trying to take care of them all the time. Ain't nothing but the devil. The whole thing of it is, see, they turn around and operate. They want to be God all the time. That's what it is. They want their child to love them more than they care about. I want the child to be after me. And they'll say, I want my child to turn to Jesus. Well, then you quit playing God in their life and let Jesus have a chance to do something. Because as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you and the devil are going to keep them where they're at. So you got to learn to stop. There's times to help and there's times to put the brakes on and say no. But see, you develop them as one thing. I remember, and I used to say this, our daughters, they're just little kids. And I used to tell them, they are not going to be a burden on people in life. I ain't allowed that. We raised our children to be able to be a blessing in life. So you're going to be a blessing. You're not going to be out here a taker. You're going to be a giver. See, most children today, and even for many years, have been raised as takers, you know. They've been raised under a system. You don't have to have money to go to college. Just get it from the government. You don't have to. Somebody's going to always give you what you need to get along to go do your stuff. And that's the way they've been taught. And their parents teach them that way. You know, the government owes you something. We never taught our kids that the government ever owed them a thing. You know, I get so tired of even, I'm a veteran, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm so sick of some of the veteran stuff. They're always looking for a pat on the back all the time. I'll tell you, my country doesn't owe me a thing. I got to live here in this place. I got to live in America. I have traveled. I've been in many countries of this world. Praise God, I got to live here. I ought to put a uniform on sometime and help it out. They don't owe me a college education. They don't owe me that stuff just because I did what was right. I did what was right because it was right. Amen. I'm tired of this, everybody wanting payback. Talking about giving, nobody wants to give. They want all payback. And all of that, you know, you got to pat me. Have another ceremony for the Vietnam veterans come back. Nobody has to have a ceremony for me. I don't need to pat on the back for men. People like to see me and, you know, always, well, look at the wonderful thing you did. Every year I get this thing, I go to a ceremony and go to, I ain't going to no ceremonies. I did my duty. I don't need to stand. People don't keep me running around patting me on the back. I don't need a big head, dear Lord. I need a lot smaller head. Dear God. I always need somebody. Somebody has to build my poor little ego up. I came to Jesus Christ, and I tell you what, I was a nobody, and He made me a somebody, and I don't care if anybody else believes it. Hallelujah. I talked to Him so much about it, and He talked to me so much about it. We have already had the conversation, and it don't matter else what anybody else says. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God, and I surely know it. And I don't need somebody else to pat me on my back. People don't have to spend their lives trying to pat and pet me to keep me happy. Glory to God. That's the worst thing you can do to people. You pet the powder, and I'll tell you what, you got a person that's going to be hard to live with. So what we got? We got a nation nothing but full of powders and that stuff. You got to go around all the time. Talk nice to them. And, oh, you can never say anything because everybody gets, oh, my words, you know. Somebody said something bad about me. Well, line up. They do it all the time to me. I don't even worry about it. My words, like Brother Hagin said, I've been criticized by experts. Glory to God. But folks, we're still subject to prosperity because this will affect your prosperity. This will affect your health. This will affect the soundness of your family. See, if you have this kind of craziness going on in a family, that has to, and you have them in families. I've watched families and that stuff, trying to pet a certain individual in a family because they were the moody one. See, my youngest daughter, she's little, she's a moody one. I would not give her attention. She got moody, I just tell her, I pay no attention. You get moody, you ain't going to be moody. Everybody ain't going to run to pat you because you unhappy today. I just tell her, I won't kiss up to you. You get over it, kid. Well, Dad, you did something bad when I was out. I don't give a rip. That doesn't mean you have the right to run around and pull stuff. You know? If I'm an idiot today, I can't blame my mom and dad. I'm a grown-up person now. I have the say in my life. I don't care what mommy and daddy did. My life is now determined by me, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to walk in. You know, my parents walked as best as they understood and they knew. And, you know, they did things wrong and surely I did things wrong. But nonetheless, I can't throw it on the other people. It's my life today. I thought it was hard when I heard Kenneth Hagin say, if you don't like your life today, he said, don't complain to somebody else. It's your fault. You made it what it was. He said, you're old. It's one thing for a little child that don't have a say. But when you get your say, now it's time to quit blaming other people and it's time to strap up and say, okay, I'm going to take responsibility right here and today for my life. If I'm going to be a blessing to somebody else, I can't be a burden. I'm not going to be a burden. Hallelujah. God has raised up a blessing. God sent Abraham into a land to become a blessing to the world, and he did a good job of it. Hallelujah. You and I, because he didn't end up to be a powder and a grump out there, you know, had to live in a tent. He went from living in houses to living in tents, but he followed God, and God blessed him, and he had a tent full of gold. Hallelujah. He had a tent full of all kinds of stuff. The Bible tells us. But he went out there. He didn't complain. He followed God and walked with God. And by walking by faith, passed on to us today because of these people who walked, may have suffered some things, but they walked and did work, and we got Jesus out of the deal. Who am I to complain? Dear God. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about prosperity. Well, we're talking about diligently seeking God. Diligently seeking God. Jesus talked. Jesus said this. And I figure if Jesus said it, he's pretty much of an authority, isn't he? In Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 will come. Matthew, the 6th chapter. That's correct. Matthew 6. Jesus giving a discourse about God taking care of birds and looking after people. He's dealing with this whole thing about stuff in life. Jesus was dealing with them. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 31 of the 6th chapter, he said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentile, he's speaking to Jews. He's talking, when he says, uses the word Gentile, he was saying people without God's covenant. That's what it was. The Gentile were the people without a covenant with God. Praise God, I got one today. So now look. You ain't going to take care of the whole world. You ain't going to do it. There ain't going to be peace in the whole world. Nobody's going to fix the problem of hunger in the world. It ain't going to be fixed. The only place that it can literally get fixed is under the covenant people of God. If people enter the covenant and walk with God, it'll get fixed. Listen to what Jesus said. He's telling me. He said, the world, their whole thing, they're just trying to get the food and stuff. They're just trying to, that's what they're after. They're just trying to get that and get in that way. He said, but he's standing there, you guys ain't supposed to be doing this. You ain't supposed to be walking around. Well, what am I going to eat or drink? You have to worry about tomorrow. Well, I don't know. I've just spent the last of my money. Well, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't even here yet. Why are you worrying about it? God has a plan. See, it's coming over. It's just like David said, I never saw the righteous forsaken. The righteous were the ones under the God's covenant. They were the children of Israel. Those ones under that covenant, the ones who walked righteously under that covenant. He said, I never saw a righteous person begging for bread, their kids begging for bread. Never saw it happen. Look what he said. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Things. It isn't spiritual. He ain't talking about people saying, oh, he's talking about spiritual stuff. No, he wasn't. He's talking about physical food. He's talking about clothing. You know? You don't have to sit around and say, well, you know, I got two sets of clothes, and well, I ought to be happy with that. Well, if that's be content at the time, but been leaving for at least 10 more sets. Because God said, look how beautiful, if you go back and read the whole thing, look how beautiful those flowers out there. He said, Solomon in all his glory didn't dress as good as those. And he said, but how much more you, oh you of little faith. In other words, my intent is to give you better than Solomon had. Jesus. That's what heaven wants to do. But understand, there's principles that must be followed. There needs to be a spiritual development that must rise up in the church. I believe God's bringing us to this place. I believe God is working in us to develop so believers can walk in God's prosperity. God's prosperity isn't just having a big bank account. Can you believe for the money when you need it? Can you trust God for tomorrow? Or do you have to already have it stored up? See, this is one of the things that we have done. You know, people get over in the areas of retirement. We have areas of money that we will not allow God to touch in our life. He has no say over certain accounts because this is my retirement money. That'll limit your prosperity. God, whatever God can't touch in your life is going to limit you. Whatever you have that you have set aside, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to get your life. It's going to mess you up. And too many people, see, this is one of the things that's hurt America. This is one of the things that's hurt prosperity in America. Because the church has acted in the same way the world does about these things. That doesn't mean you can't have a retirement account. That doesn't mean you can't. But it can't be an off-limits account. See, I watch people do this. Say, well, you know, I got that money. Say, what happens if I get old and my health goes? Oh, don't worry, it will. You just said it. You're planning for your health to go and you're holding that money for your health. You're going to need it. That's your confession. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. You doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things you're going to say are going to come to pass. You're going to have whatever you say. If you believe that that account, you're going to need that account for your health. You're going to need that account for your health because your health's going to go south on you. You just believed it. You just said it with your mouth. We did a long time ago with kids. People used to save money for a rainy day. We never save money for no rainy days. We ain't having them. We saving money for the sunshine. Hallelujah. We don't have rain. What do people mean by rainy day account? Something bad's going to happen. Come on, devil. Come and run over me with a truck today. You know, I got some money saved up for the hospital bill, so you could just fire the engine up right now and run over me. Look, I'm not, the Bible, there's nothing wrong with saving money. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's our attitudes and things. We're talking about prosperity. I don't want to limit, because see what happens is I limit God's ability to work to prosper me more in that area. You know, I would rather have health than have a bank account for health. Now you choose whatever you want. You take whatever you like. But I would sooner have the health, wouldn't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But like I said, now it's not wrong because the Bible talks about God, you know, blessing us in our storehouse. That means you got some stuff saved up. But what do you have it saved up for? You got to watch what you save up money for, because many people save for wrong reasons. And many people want God to bless them in certain things, but what they're doing is trying really to control that. And they won't let God touch in that area. You know, this is my money. This is my money for my rent. This is when I retire. This is, we got to be very careful about those things. You know, God, is the whole thing of it is, now you guys heard me say this many times, a lot of it is attitude about how you deal with stuff. It's your attitude. And you're having the right attitude. God, if you want some of this, you just let me know. I'll give it to you in a minute. You want me to do something? See, most of the church world, this is the way we deal with God. It isn't, we don't deal with God as a covenant. We deal with God as a beggarly child. God, you give me your stuff, but don't ask me for anything. A covenant is a two-way street. If you want what God got, He has to have permission to all of your stuff too, if you want all of His. That's a covenant. It's not preached, but that's a covenant. A covenant is two-way. A covenant is two-way. The covenants were made. Whatever you have belongs to me, and whatever I have belongs to you. Actually, I think I got the best deal. God sure got a whole lot more than I got. He has a lot more to offer than I have to offer Him. But I must walk, if I want to prosper, I must walk in the fact that whatever I do have, my whole life, spirit, soul, and body belongs to Him. All my possessions, they belong to God. If you want to touch me in this area, you're allowed to. If you want to ask for me, you can ask for me in this area. I'll obey. I'll do it. See, there's things that He must be able to talk into our life as seeking God. So Jesus went on and said, He said, what do we do? Verse 33, but seek first. The first thing we do, the first thing to prosperity, it says here, first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added. I want to tell you, when I learned this out, there's things that I never pray nor ask about, because in my actions and what I do in my walk will automatically provide those things for me. I don't have to ask God to try to get me food. If I seek the kingdom and His righteousness, it says these things are added to your life. There's things that God has already planned. This is what He wants to bring in your life, what He wants us to do. Seek the kingdom first. You go after the things of God. God's the head of the kingdom. It'd be good. If you want to know anything about the kingdom, you've got to go after Him. You've got to go after God. You want to begin to seek God, go after God. And you want to hook up with what God's doing. Quickly into Colossians. Colossians says this. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 says, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Prosperity in the kingdom of God is not focusing on what you need in the earth. There's nothing matter with telling God what you need in here, but that isn't where you set your focus. The focus of the Christian walk is the kingdom. It's living a life above. See, it's just like we want to prosper in our nation. Our nation has not prospered, and I'm not talking about money. Our prosperity is because of the beliefs of the people and the things that have gone on, and all this heathenism in our nation is going on. That doesn't get changed by looking at the heathenism in our nation. That gets changed when Christians begin to set their minds on the things above. There's only one place you're going to get help out of this thing. It's out of heaven. I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to change America by the vote. You keep messing with that thing around here, and I'll tell you, Jesus will come, and you'll be limping around like the rest of the world. It's by seeking those things that are above, setting my mind on what's above. Not setting my mind on what's going on. Not setting my mind on the need of our nation, but setting my mind on the one who can fulfill the needs of the nation. Looking to God, because the answers for this nation are in Him. People are trying all kinds of things to fix this nation. Christians are. And they have failed and failed and failed. So they say, stop it! God, you got a plan. I want your plan. I've had enough of me. I've done all that I know. See, if we want to prosper this nation, it's going to be by looking above. It's turning ourselves above. And that's what's happened. See, all this stuff is messed up and everything. And what's happened? The church, Christians, not all the church world, but there's a lot of Christians now, they're focused on heaven. They're just saying, hey, we ain't going this other way again. We ain't going to go back to this other path again. That's it. We're going after God. If there's a fix, the only one that can do it is God. Man don't have the way to do it. We set our mind. Well, it's just like that in everything. This is why people, I know there's people that I've tried to deal with, you know, people over the years as being, you know, pastor, being people dealing with their health. You can't get their mind off their sickness. You can't get their mind. They spend all their time on their sickness. They're petting it all the time. Their doctor's appointments and all their stuff are working all the time, focused on their problem. Their eating and everything in their life is all focused on their problem. They never set their mind on things above. They never get, they're never looking above. There never were God the healer, Jesus Christ the deliverer. Yeah, they'll quote you scriptures, but you can see what they do. They spend all their time and thought life trying to figure out their problems. I was so glad when I didn't have to do that. I was fortunate. I wasn't smart enough to figure out my medical problems. I'm glad that I learned this stuff and not in the internet age. I think the internet age is a terrible burden on people for health. They're always looking up things and looking things they should never look at and diagnosing themselves. I remember my mama used to do that all the time. My mama at least, you know, she was always, you know, at least every couple of years had cancer. At least that's what she'd say, because you know, she had this ache or pain. And she had this medical book. And, well, if you got this, look what it says. You got this. Well, I must have cancer. And then she'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would tell her, Mrs. Gibson, you ain't got cancer. Go home. You know, well, today people got the internet, and it sure ain't helping a lot of it, because they have no spiritual sense to use it, and they get themselves in deeper into their problems than they do getting out of problems. So you got to set your mind on things above. You got to set yourself. You got to be able to see yourself. If you can't see yourself well, you ain't going to get there. You ain't getting there. So, but we set our minds on things above. Let me use this scripture here. I want to read you. I have one here on the areas in from Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles 26. I'll close with this. 2 Chronicles 20. Chronicles 26. This is about King Uzziah, and I want you to show what it says about King Uzziah. This is 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. Verse 4 and 5, I'm going to read to you. This is what it says about Uzziah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. I could go through a whole bunch more scriptures and things on this. But folks, as long as he sought the Lord. It didn't say as long as he sought prosperity, he got prospered. He sought the Lord and God prospered him. See, one of the things, he sought the Lord. You know what men need? James talked about it, having wisdom. If you lack wisdom. Wisdom is this. Wisdom is not knowledge. You can have knowledge and no wisdom whatsoever. Right now, that's what we live in our nation. Our nation is filled with knowledge, but there's hardly a wise person. Number one, you need to understand this, wisdom comes from God. Amen. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And that comes from God. That's what happens. Solomon's wisdom, God, who made Solomon wise? Was Solomon wise because he had a lot of wisdom? Solomon, growing up in David's home as a king, I'll guarantee he had a good education. But he didn't become wise till God made him wise. Because he came to God and he said, look, God, I'm a youngin' and these are your people out here in this big nation and I'm the ruler. Like, whoa! Help! It wasn't because he wasn't educated. He was educated in a ruler's home. He knew about ruling. He knew about things. He knew about authority. He understood a lot of things. He was raised in that kind of stuff. But wisdom's another thing. Wisdom comes from God. And that's why we seek God, because God gives us wisdom. Quoting scriptures, quoting knowledge is not wisdom. It's knowing how to apply it. If you cannot do the Word of God, it doesn't matter what it says, and it don't matter how you say you believe it. It's to be able to do what the Word says. It's to be able to do it. We're going to talk about that next week, about the things in the Scriptures about doing it, because it's tied, that's a principle of prosperity. Thank God they taught us about believing God's Word and confessing God's Word. It tells us to do it. But if I'm not going to do, if I'm not going to walk in it, it's going to limit my prosperity. So I need to apply the principles of the Word of God. I need to be able to live it. God's Word can be lived, not just talked and said. It can be lived. And that will bring prosperity to us. But we get the wisdom. You need the wisdom to do that. You need to get, and that comes from seeking God. You need to become a person that seeks God. You seek God in His Word, but you also seek God in prayer. Because there's things that the Word doesn't tell you that God wants for your life. There's things God's called you to do and to be. He, you know, because we could, the Bible tells us generally things about it. But what's God called you specifically to do? What does He want you to do? What does He want you to do concerning your money? What about job-wise? What's God said about job with you? What has God spoken in life? What does He want you to be? You know, you might like living, doing this or that, the other thing. He wants you in Africa. You ain't going to believe God for prosperity here and God wants you over in Africa. Your prosperity's in Africa. It's doing the will of God. There's one thing I found out. You know, I did not want to be a pastor. That's the last thing in the world I wanted to be. God told me to start a church and I drugged my feet. And He got tired of talking to me about it. But I learned. I never realized. If I don't submit to His will, I'll never prosper. I'll never prosper. You got to submit to His will. There was no place in the Bible that said, Ed Gibson, you're a pastor. I didn't find it there. You got to seek God. And you know what? I sought God and found out I was supposed to do it and didn't like it. I said, can we have plan B, please? You know, these, you know, one of those things about grace, people say, well, you know, that if a person has grace, then they're just going to be able to do that. If you think it works that way, I feel sorry for your small mind. You'll never do anything. Just because God graces you an area don't mean that's what you're going to want to do or like it. Now, I learned to go over. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with all my heart of what He wants me to do. I'm going to do it because that's what He wants. It isn't about whether I like it. You know, all my life I've worked for people and been places and done things for people and worked on jobs. Never did I ever have a job that I liked everything I had to do. And I'm going to tell you what, if you think God's going to have you doing everything you like to do, wake up, space cadet. It ain't in this planet nowhere. You're going to have to do things that you don't like to do. And this is why we live in a society and we've been taught in the church world, God will never tell you to do something like that, that you don't want to do. And that's the biggest lie. Those preachers are lying to you, setting you up for the devil to eat your life up. If God asked me what I wanted to do, I'd be living in another country right now. If He said that, I would do. I would. To me, that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'd love to do that. But that's not what He called me to do. And you know what? I ain't mad at Him for it anymore. Because I realize, if I'm doing what God told me to do, I'm in His perfect will. And Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin. Jesus spoke to him in a vision and said to him, you never have to ask me to bless you if you're in my perfect will, because my full blessing is on my perfect will. And over the years, I've watched it. Getting in, walking closer into the will of God, there's loads of things that I never ask for that God brings to me. Why? Because His full blessing is on His perfect will. And see, why do we seek God? To find His perfect will. To find what He wants for me. What I'm supposed to be doing. You know, how am I supposed... What does He want? Can He talk to me about my money? Where I'm supposed to invest it in the kingdom? Or do I have my idea? Do I follow the principles of the Bible? Or am I following... This looks good to me. This seems all right to me. I think I'm going to do this or that. And what happens is we don't seek God. Hallelujah. I urge you to take the time to slow down in life to seek God. Why? For the sake of prosperity, so God can bless your life. Because God has many good works. There are people sitting out here in the perfect will of God, and people won't support them because they don't blow their own horn all the time. Like these guys do all the time, blowing their horn about all they're doing when they ain't even done much. We got ministries out here in America that take hundreds of millions of dollars a year in. And there are ministries out here that probably don't even quite take $1 million a year in, yet they're reaching millions of souls are coming to Christ. Absolute phenomenal miracles. Now that doesn't mean that guy over there, we need to go get right. We have this idea today in this thing. We always think bigger is better. Not always so. Not always. This is why you got to seek God. There's some ministries out there that are very big, but I mean they sow into a lot of things. They sow into a lot of good ministry that goes to, a lot of their money goes to a lot of good stuff. Not, you know, there's ministries out here taking lots of money, but it doesn't go for their own use. They dump a lot into other ministries and that stuff that reach people with the gospel. They do things. I know Kenneth Copeland's ministry, my God, they dump huge amounts of money into, you know, Reinhard Bonnke's ministries and different ones that are reaching out in the world. Other ones, they're out there dumping, they dump huge amounts of money into those ministries. But there are people sitting out here, but see, people don't listen to God. If you're only moved by what the TV has and who seems to be doing what, God might can speak to you to give money to a certain individual, to a certain thing that He wants you to do. But if you're not seeking God, you don't know that. If you're not seeking God, you're moved. It's like, you know, I had some Christians tell me one time how they run their prayer life. They watch the news and then they see the things going on and then that's what they pray, you know. I thought, oh dear God, they wait for the devil to cause disaster, then they go pray about it. Wouldn't it be nice to get together with God and stop a few disasters? Wouldn't that be a good idea? And I thought, what a poor bunch of simple idiots, because most babies wouldn't think that dumb. But you know what? They are the height of laziness. That's what it is. It's the height of laziness. It's spiritually lazy people that don't want to take the time to seek God. Folks, we must, because you and I must know what God's will is and His purpose. We have to find that out. I have to know for me. You might be sitting right here today in the perfect will of God, but do you know it? It is not enough for Ed Gibson to be in the will of God if I don't know it. It'll change your whole perspective of faith. When you know you're standing right in what you're supposed to be, you can have a boldness of faith. You can have a confidence of faith in God. Like, whoa, I'm here. See, I can say this. Lebanon is my place of milk and honey. I don't care if the whole town goes under. I can't. Hallelujah. Because I'm in the will of God here, and God will always supply me with an abundance. Hallelujah. Because I'm in the will of God. I'm in the land I'm supposed to be in. Hallelujah. So see, it brings a great boldness. It isn't a matter of, I seek God to just waste my time. No, it don't. The end result is prosperity. My faith prospers. My faith prospers through it. Hallelujah. I have a confidence toward God. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can walk in confidence about that. Hallelujah. And that's what you want to know too. Seek God. Hallelujah. You might be smack dab right in the middle of it. Don't mean that you're not. But you need to know it. Hallelujah. You need to know what His will. What's He called you to do? I'm just going to tell you this. This is just by the Spirit of God. There's some of you, God spoke to you about certain things and you've laid it down and you don't do it. You don't do it. And you're asking God for help. You have problems and things and that stuff. Things go on in your life and you end up discouraged about things and you end up problems, whether jobs and whatever else, and you're fussing and fighting. It ain't about people and it ain't about your job. It's about you not being in the will of God. God spoke to you about some things and you ain't doing it. I know what it is. I've watched this. And I'm a professional at this. You get out of the will of God and get grumpy. If you're grumpy, probably because you're out of the will of God. I'm just, as soon as I get myself lined up, get right again. Get happy. Get back over what he's telling you to do. Because, well, you can't get, you ain't going to be happy. You ain't going to have peace and no joy. And you can't blame it on somebody else. Nobody will ever steal your joy. You throw it away. Get out of the will of God. I'm just telling you. You got to go over and find out. I know I've gotten off track and I get grumpy and I get over that thing and I get myself back in track. And we get happy again. Glory to God. Back in the will of God, the blessings on me. Hallelujah. Oh, I know I'm meddling, but we got to do it. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, there ain't many ministers going out here meddling in your life. But I'll tell you what, they'll never lead you to true prosperity. Because it's not about having money in your pocket. I tell you, I want you folks to have peace of mind. I want you to have joy. I want you to have strong relationships in your family. I want you to have the whole thing. Hallelujah. Not some just shallow old stuff and, you know, just, you know, get by, you know, one day good, next day bad. I'm going to tell you, well, you're happy no matter what half of the day offers. Will you walk in peace and joy of life no matter what's going on? That you never worry when the economy, things turn down, where it seems like things are working against you. You're not even worried in the least. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter tomorrow. I'm going to be eating and probably get some more new clothes. My God. Hallelujah. You ladies ought to like that, you know. Hallelujah. God wants you dressed. God wants you dressed nice, look nice. God is interested in His people. He wants us, you know. He don't want you eating a bologna sandwich once a day is enough. You know, well, I can get by on that. I ain't getting by on that. My God does better for the birds. He said, how about you guys? You of little faith. And we just have to stop and say, Lord, forgive us for our faithlessness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.